Good morning. Would you take your Bible and find with me Psalms 139? A beautiful psalm, one I'm sure you've read before and heard before, but it's very appropriate certainly for today, as today is called Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. We want to think about that today. But Psalm 139, starting the verse 13. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Lord, this morning we want to think about the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And Father, and we just lift it up to you and lift up this time. And thank you for your word, Lord. And thank you for these incredible words written, Lord, in the Psalms about how you know us and you see us while we're still in our mother's womb. And even, Lord, you can have our days planned out for us before we're even born. Father, I praise you for that, and I praise you, Lord, for the miracle of life. And Lord, during these next few moments, I just pray for your blessings upon our time as we gather around your word. Amen. Amen. Imagine you're a high school teacher, and you're in front of your class, and you ask your class this question. And many of you have heard this before, but you ask your class this question. You say, class, how would you advise a mother who was pregnant with her fifth child based on the following facts? Her husband had syphilis. She had tuberculosis. Their first child was born blind. The second child died. Their third child was born deaf. Their fourth child had tuberculosis. And now she's pregnant for a fifth time. Should she consider an abortion? Class thought it over for a while, the high school class, and they had a vote, and the majority responded, yes, you should have an abortion. Why in the world have a fifth child? Obviously, that child will be deformed or may die or whatever. And why, as a parent, put yourself through more grief? Why in the world would you do that? And the teacher said, congratulations, class. You just voted to destroy Ludwig von Beethoven, perhaps the greatest musical composer we've ever had. He was her fifth child. I wonder how many musical geniuses, lawyers, doctors, scientists, leaders, missionaries, pastors have been destroyed in the womb since the abortion on demand was made legal in 1973. Bible teacher Chuck Swindoll writes, he says, it has come to the time where the most dangerous place in America is not in the inner city where gangs threaten innocent lives or in angry prisons where only the fit survive. The most dangerous place in the world is in the womb of a mother who's being told if she doesn't really want the baby, an abortion is the only solution. Dr. John Wilkie writes, he says, killing the unwanted is a monstrous evil. A monstrous evil. I'm very grateful this morning to have the chance to speak out against abortion. I am anti-abortion because of personal experiences. I've been running ambulance calls for 30 years. I'm a CPR and first aid instructor for American Red Cross. I'm a volunteer EMT with Mifflinburg. And the most exciting and rewarding ambulance call we ever get is baby calls. Oh, it's great. Not for mom, but for us. Can't wait. I remember, never forget my first baby call. Rose and I had just gotten married. We lived in Penns Creek. I belonged to Penns Creek Ambulance at the time. Beeper goes off, wakes us up early in the morning. Obstetrics call. Oh, it just gets you all excited already. It was my next door neighbor, like 20 yards away from my front door. I knew she was pregnant, but wow. So anyhow, I get dressed as fast as I can. I fly down the steps. I'm the first person there. The ambulance is coming. And I bang on the door and I hear the scream. I thought, oh my gosh, what's happening? Open up the door, ran in. There she is at the kitchen table. screaming and crying and looking at me going, and she's pointing her finger at me. Take me to the hospital now or I'll shoot you. Okay, okay. Is that what, guys, did your wife have that look? I don't know if Rose a couple times I thought, okay, dear, whatever you say. But anyhow, do it now, do it now. The ambulance comes in behind me. We load her into the back of the ambulance, rush to E-van, en route to E-van, checking her over, and I've got another EMT with me in the ambulance and two guys. And we're checking this poor lady out. Well, you're shaking her head no for. And the baby's crowning. You know what that means, moms? I can see the baby's head, the top of the head. Nice head of hair, oh, lots of hair. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. Can you drive a little faster? And then as I'm doing this and I'm talking to my other EMT, I'm looking at him and he's turning white. He really was. I pick at him still when I see him. Oh, great. And he's starting to sweat. And he's supposed to be helping me. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I've got three patients now. I got a mom, a baby, and a worthless EMT. We get to E-van, get her, run through ER to the elevator, take her up to obstetrics. I think like in minutes, and I mean just a few minutes, the baby's born. You know, we got there just in time. It was so exciting, so thrilling. And the adrenaline is just rushing through. What a thrill. The birth of a baby is a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. I've had the privilege of seeing the birth of all four of our children. Wow. I feel sorry for my dad. He didn't have that privilege. Back in the old days, you know, dad had to wait in the waiting room. You weren't allowed in the birthing room whatsoever. And the nurse would come out and say, oh, it's a boy, it's a girl, whatever. But I had the privilege of being there. I had the privilege of cutting all four umbilical cords. I had the privilege. The fourth one was born in the parsonage, by the way. Matteo was born at home with a midwife. And Lori Durr came and helped, and we were there. Oh, what an experience that was. But the experience to be there and to experience personally the miracle of life. The miracle of life. The Bible says, Psalm 127, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from Him. And they are. Praise the Lord. What a miracle. So from personal experiences, I believe absolutely in life and I'm anti-abortion. But also from the Bible. If you would find Job, these are verses in the Old Testament to look at very quickly. The first one's in Job. Job 31:15. Note how this verse is worded. Job says, did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one form us both within our mothers? What I want you to notice in that verse is all the personal pronouns. Do you see them? Personal pronouns. Me, them, us, our. Personal pronouns. Personal pronouns designate personality. Personal pronouns designate personhood. The unborn child is not a glob of tissues. A glob of tissues does not have personality. A glob of tissues does not have personhood. People do. People do. The unborn child is not a glob of tissues. It's a person. Compare that to Isaiah. Isaiah 49:5. And now the Lord says, he who formed me, there's that personal pronoun again, me. He who formed me in the womb to be his servant. Again, personal pronoun me. And note that God has a plan. God already has a purpose for that unborn child. He's going to be a servant. Globs of tissue don't have futures, don't have plans. Globs of tissue aren't servants, but people are. People are. Another one, Jeremiah 1:4. Jeremiah 1:4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Again, personal pronouns. And the idea that I've already got a plan for you. You're going to be a prophet. You're not even born yet, and you're going to be a prophet. Globs of tissue don't become prophets. People do. People do. One more. Let's turn to the New Testament. Book of Luke. This is a story. Mary, of course, is going to have a child. And she visits Elizabeth. Elizabeth, remember, was barren. And God promised Elizabeth, you're going to have a child. And Elizabeth has become pregnant now. And Mary goes and visits Elizabeth. This is part of the Christmas story. And in verse 39, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Globs of tissue don't leap with joy. People do. People leap with joy. Praise the Lord. Some people say the Bible is silent regarding abortion because you can't find a verse that says, thou shalt not commit abortion. It's not there, and you're right, it's not. But when you look at the whole Bible and all these verses and many, many more, the Bible screams at us. It's not silent, it's screaming. But I think it screams so loud it's deafening that life is sacred. And that little teeny baby in your womb, it's not a glob of tissue. It's a person. And God already has a plan for that little teeny baby. A third reason that I am against abortion personally is, again, my training in first aid. When you take a first aid class, you're taught, do no more harm. One of the golden rules of first aid, do no more harm. The person's already hurt, they're already ill, don't make it worse. You're there to protect them. You're there to safely get them to the hospital where they can get the medical help they need. You don't do more harm. When I go to a vehicle accident and the woman is, it's a woman, she's driving, she's hurt, and she's also pregnant, I now have two patients. I've got mom and the baby, and I'm to do no more harm. One thing that really, really angers me is I'm doing everything I can to protect this baby and mom, get them to the hospital safely. And if it's a hospital that does abortions, they're going to kill the one I try to protect. Hear the Hippocratic Oath, written by a 5th century BC Greek physician. This statement of ethics for doctors and for medicine. When he wrote it, he had a sentence in there that specifically said that a doctor will never induce an abortion. You made the oath that you wouldn't do it. Now the Hippocratic Oath says, I will do nothing that's illegal. What happened? I will do nothing that's illegal. To me, it's like the Hippocratic Oath has become the hypocritical oath. Another thought, and I heard this, and you've heard it too. Well, it's okay to abort all these babies because nobody wants them. They're unwanted. Well, I don't know about you, but that gets me really upset. I believe there's no such thing as an unwanted baby. No such thing. There's a slogan I read this week that makes pro-abortion activists really, really uptight. They don't like this slogan. Here it is. Adoption, not abortion. And it upsets them. It's estimated that in the United States, there are 1.5 million abortions per year. 1.5 million per year. Compare that to only 50,000 adoptions a year. 1.5 million abortions and only 50,000 adoptions. I'm going, what's wrong with this? And then, of course, I can hear the person who's pro-abortion say, see, I told you, nobody wants these babies. Only 50,000 people, adoptions, 1.5 million abortions. See, nobody wants them. I told you. And I said, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. There are 2 million couples in this country waiting to adopt. 1.5 babies are aborted, but there's more than that. There's 2 million couples right now today who want to abort a baby. Who want to adopt a baby. Something's wrong here, folks. Something's wrong. The numbers don't add up. And also, of those 2 million people who want to adopt a baby, each of these couples would want 2 or 3. Not just 1. 2 or 3. And many of them will take hard-to-place children with special needs, you know, the ones nobody really wants. They'll gladly take them. You know, you have to have an abortion because your baby isn't healthy or whatever. And these families are saying, oh, we'll take them. We'll take them. We'll love them. We'll provide a home for them. Something's not right. Tim and Sherry, come on up real quick. I'm going to use Nikki's microphone. I called them last night and asked them to come up real quick. We have a beautiful living example of what happens when you try to adopt or want to adopt, or the idea of you know, taking care of these children. And hi, Rosa. Hi, Rosa. And Precious is here. Mm-hmm. I only have a minute. Can you tell us really quick? I know this is hard, but why adoption? Why? Here, I was saying here. Which one's going to talk? Okay, Sherry.
He agreed to this.
I know he did.
And he's going to make me talk.
He said yes and made you talk. Yeah, I see that.
I guess for us, is for those of you who don't know us, we're Tim and Sherry Maxfield, and we cannot have biological children. So God has chosen to bless us with Rosa, who is from Honduras, and he's also blessed us with 5 babies from the prison ministry. Precious is number 5. For those of you who don't know, Rosa is from Honduras. Rosa was born at 30 weeks, so she weighed less than 2 pounds. At 4 weeks of age, her birth mother tried to smuggle her out of the hospital to dispose of her. So now thinking of this, that's 34 weeks. That's still not a full-term baby. Yeah. And luckily, a nurse in that hospital realized what was going on, and she saved Rosa's life. Mm. And obviously, Rosa has special needs. There are days that are very challenging, but I think every day we get great joy out of her. And I think she has touched the hearts of many in this room. And after Kayla, our last baby, I said I couldn't do it anymore. But God healed my heart and said, this is what you need to do. And we now have Precious. We will have her for 2 years at this point. But her birth mom is 20 years old. Precious is her second child. Her first one has already been adopted. And since Precious has been born, she's a month old, we've gotten 1 letter from mom. So I don't know what's going to happen there. I do have a plaque that it was Rosa's original birth host mom when she first came to the States. Our first Christmas with Rosa gave me this plaque. It's to the child of my heart. Someday you will ask about a woman who is your mother too. You'll ask why she isn't in your life and why she's not with you. This is how your story starts, with 2 women who help each other. One mother, one mother you can't remember, and one who you call mother. One mother gave you life. One mother guides you through it. One mother gave you hope. One mother helps fulfill it. One mother loves you in her heart. One mother gives the love of 2. One mother gave the greatest gift of all. One mother gave me you.
You're doing a good job.
You're doing a good job. So, I want to pray with you and just thank you. Good news about this one. Two things. We talked on the phone. One is there are some papers on their way in an airplane real soon, like 26. Tomorrow. Or 26th, okay.
Tuesday.
Adoption, well, part of the adoption process.
Yes. Right. Our paperwork actually goes to Honduras on Tuesday. Kathy, who originally brought Rosa to the United States, is carrying that paperwork. Rosa's birth mom is supposed to sign, and they're telling us once it comes back in our lawyer files, it should be about a month, and we will have a court date to terminate parental rights and finish Rosa's adoption.
Yay!
And Rosa... Also, Rosa was recently diagnosed seizure-free.
Yay! That's so exciting. We're going to pray. Would you pray with me real quick? Lord Jesus, we just want to lift up the Maxfields to you, Lord, and Rosa and Precious, and Father, two beautiful examples of how precious life is, and oh God, how sacred it is, and how we thank you. I pray for those adoption papers, Lord. They'll find their way there quickly, and they'll come back quickly with good news. And thank you, Lord, for Tim and Sherry and their dedication, Lord, to life and to children. Bless them, Lord. And just praise you, Lord, for these two little ones. Thank you. Amen. Okay, thanks, guys. One more thought and I'm done. Stem cell research. I am very much against embryonic stem cell research. I'm in favor of adult stem cell research, however, but not embryonic. If you're not sure, human embryonic stem cells are obtained by harvesting them from a 5-day-old embryo. In order to harvest those cells, the embryo, the baby, is killed. 5 days old. That's where they come from. My Bible says, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Can't do it. Just can't do it. And we don't have to. But you don't hear about this stuff. There's very exciting news in the world of stem cell research. Just a couple years ago, some brilliant doctors in Japan and in Wisconsin, and now it's happened also at Harvard, they have figured out a way chemically to take human stem cells. They can take it from your blood, they can take it just from your skin, whatever. You know, it does no harm to us whatsoever. But they can take adult stem cells and by using chemicals, reprogram those adult stem cells to think they're embryonic. And do everything an embryonic stem cell would do. They can do it in a test tube. Isn't that amazing? We are wonderfully made. If that catches on, but you don't hear about that in the news. But if that catches on, we don't need to abort babies anymore to get embryonic stem cells. There'll be no need for it whatsoever. Praise God. Praise God. I'm anti-abortion because of personal experiences, including the birth of our own four children, biblical evidence that supports life, my training as an EMT, my belief that there are no unwanted children, and this exciting new research involving adult stem cells. But I want to close with this. Maybe you agree with me today that abortion is wrong, but you've had an abortion. Or you force your girlfriend or your wife or your child to have an abortion. And now you are dealing with the pain that the abortion clinic guys never told you about, the emotional pain and the guilt. And you know it really well. And you struggle every single day. Or maybe you're dealing with the feelings of unworthiness. And you try so hard to compensate. You've decided that from now on I'm going to be super mom. Or you decide, I'm going to be super dad to try and make up. Or you've decided to become a workaholic, because if you're a workaholic and you're working, you're busy all the time, you don't think about it. Or if that's not working for you, a workaholic idea isn't working for you, then, you know, many people become an alcoholic, become addicted to something. Again, workaholic to hide the pain, an addiction of some kind to kill the pain, and it's still not working. It's still not working. Hear these words. They come straight from the Bible. God is love. God is love. Nothing will be able to separate us from His love. Not even an abortion. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us. Forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, God offers forgiveness to set us free. And He's offering it to you. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you in prayer this morning, Lord, lifting up those who perhaps have had an abortion or those who have force somebody else to have an abortion, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, we want to surround them with love. And we want to surround them, Lord, we want them to know your love. And Lord, forgive them. The bondage, the burden, I guess, that they've been carrying for so long, Father, just it's too big. And everything they've tried, Lord, just doesn't work. But forgiveness does work. Lord, we forgive them. And Lord, I pray that they would seek you out and ask for your forgiveness. Because you promised, Lord, if we confess our sins to you, you will forgive us and you'll cleanse us. Father, I pray that they could experience that cleansing. And then, Lord, too, I pray that they could be able to forgive themselves. And instead of feeling worthless, they would realize, Lord, their potential. And that life is worth living. When they live it following you. Lord, I pray for our country. I pray for our lawmakers. I pray for our president. I pray, Lord, for Planned Parenthood, Lord. I pray for abortion clinics, Lord. I just pray for a change of heart, a change of mind. May we, Lord, who say we love children, may we do more than just say it. May we take the time this week, Lord, to do something about it. Lord, challenge us to do something about it. All for your glory and for your honor. And Lord, for the children in this church, and we have so many, oh, how we praise you. Oh, how we thank you for family and for the little ones. And when they grow up to be the big ones. Oh, God, we thank you. Praise you, Lord, for life. Thank you, Lord, for love. In your name, amen.